Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. Weekdays from 6.
Click Keno from only $1 a game. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
What time is it?
Game time!
Get ready for Triple M's Rush Hour. Andrew Jarman.
Beautiful to Jarman. Bang! Another nail.
Bernie Vince.
Nine goal kicker brings the house down!
And Greg Blewett.
There it is. A magnificent performance from young Greg Blewett.
Adelaide's Ultimate Sports Show. On every afternoon. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
G'day everybody, welcome to your Rush Hour on a warm Monday. It's the 7th of June. Hope you had a fabulous weekend, and obviously the Adelaide Crows were very disappointing. We'll get to that very shortly, and let's just say hello to two young men that thrive in these wonderful conditions. It's Bernie Vince and Greg Blewett. Good afternoon, chaps, on this Monday.
G'day, Jars. G'day, everyone. Haydos as
yes,
well.
Yep.
Bernie.
Yeah,
yeah. Hello, mate. I thought you were running out of breath again there, Jars.
No,
for
no.
A second. Got
no, no, no.
Rush
just,
and then
lots
running
to get
out
through.
Of breath.
Still doing those breathing techniques and stuff,
don't you? I've dropped off on a lot of things of late.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I've got too much on. Mm. But there's a lot to get through. We've got a fabulous week. We've got Thursday night footy in Adelaide Oval. Port Adelaide take on Geelong.
Do we? Do we, Jars? Not confirmed yet. Not confirmed.
What are you hearing?
Well, we'll get straight into that now. Obviously, Geelong, Port Adelaide's meant to be 7:10 Thursday night, but being from Melbourne, being from Victoria, they're actually classed as regional Victoria, Geelong, so it shouldn't matter because they're actually out of the lockdown. But no doubt, some of the players actually live in Greater Melbourne, so I don't know how that works. They'd have to get exemptions back and forward. But if Nicholas Birrier puts the foot down and says, no, you have to fly in, fly out, the same as Collingwood did on the weekend against Adelaide, they won't be able to play Thursday night because the curfew at the airport cuts in. So I think it's
11
o'clock curfew. So by the time the players finish the game, get changed, do their recovery, they can't fly out in time. So that means they'd have to stay at a hotel somewhere. Mm-hmm. They're talking maybe even a Medi hotel, going to extreme measures. But we want to see that game Thursday night.
Please.
But what they're trying to do is minimise the risk of interaction with players from Victoria with people here in Adelaide. But in saying that, they're playing a game against all the Port Adelaide players. They're tackling them, spitting on them, sweating on them.
I can't
understand. And they go home to their family. So, I mean, I don't know.
I'm totally
confused. Things I get, some things I don't get, and this is one of them. So,
anyway. So, if it's not played on Thursday night, Greg, when will it be played?
Well, Bernie's saying that's going to probably on Saturday at some stage. So, either just after lunchtime or the twilight game, maybe
just
4 o'clock.
Allow them time to get out, Jars.
Okay.
So, that will be anywhere from 1:30, the 1:10 game, probably, all the way through to what Collingwood played on the weekend, the twilight game at 4:05 or 4:10, I think they played. So, I've got confidence it'll be Thursday night, though. Surely there's some common sense and they just play.
Yep. Right. Adelaide Crows, let's just talk about their loss against the Collingwood Football Club, who were banged up, who have had the spotlight on them all week. Their coach under siege, Nathan Buckley, the board,
everything.
There's a split. They are a basket case in the AFL football. Yet they rock up and they play four quarters of good quality football. They came out of the blocks, and the Adelaide Crows, how in the hell did they lose that at Adelaide Oval? Mm. How in the hell did they lose that game, Byrne?
Yep.
And Gregory, you guys were there. I watched it yesterday. I'll tell you what, until Nixie and the list management team recruit a elite midfield group, we're going to get the same old results week in, week out. Because this current midfield group at the Adelaide Crows is above average in terms of skill level.
Above average, you mean?
About above average. I'll give them
Average. Oh, sorry.
In terms of skill level.
Yep. Okay.
All right. They've got no good kicks. Rory Laird is running at 70% disposal efficiency. He's he's the bomber. He just bombs the ball away. Keys, 70%.
Yep.
He's got the worst foot. He's got no composure or class with ball in hand. Love his courage, love his work rate. I'll get all that stuff.
Yeah, he's gutsy.
But you can't have him in the midfield or Laird. Rory Sloan running at 70%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know we love Slaney. We know what we get from Slaney, but not elite. Not elite foot skills. Schoenberg running at 50% burn.
Yep.
A young emerging midfielder. Who's teaching these young kids or these older players about being composed, lower the eyes and hitting targets? Mm-hmm. Gregory? Not on. Scholl, 79%. Hamill, 43%. This is kicking skill. And I'll tell you why. I had a great coach in Michael Noonan in the 80s, and he drummed into my head for 9 years, chaps. If you can't kick, you can't play football.
Mm.
It's harsh, but it's fair dinkum, spot on.
Mm. Yep. No, it is. I'm with you.
It turned it over, didn't they?
Frustrates me. The first five goals all from turnover, Jars.
Yep.
I'd hate to see the scores from turnover, because that's where the ball was. Well, that's how Collingwood was scoring. But they just looked shaky down back, Adelaide. Every time it went inside 50, they got scored against. I mean, I think, well, I'll go through some of the key stats that Matty Nix talks about. Inside 50s, plus 6. So there's a tick for Adelaide.
Yeah.
Clearances, 38-31, tick for Adelaide, plus 7. Contested possession, 142 to 122. So plus 20 in contested possession. Tick. If you looked at those stats without seeing the score, you'd be like, well, that team's won by four or five goals. Yeah. But it was the way they used the footy, just turned the ball
skill
over.
Skill level.
Had a bit of a smell about it straight away, Burn. It just seemed flat, and I didn't know whether there was like a, there was a bit of a hangover from the fine, because that fine was huge, $50,000,
and that came out the day of the game.
That's right.
So that morning,
I don't know. They just had a bit of a bad.
It's what they've recruited. It's the list management. It goes and what are the coaches teaching down there? If you're going to play in today's game, you've got to be around 85-90% kicking efficiency or disposal efficiency by hand or foot.
Do you know if you just kick it long, though, it doesn't count? As a, if you kick it really long to a contest, it doesn't count as a percentage.
So there's,
whether we're looking at the wrong thing, I reckon ball retention is the percentage you want, because that means it finds a teammate. You can just go long to a contest, Jarge, it counts as an efficient disposal. So, I mean, you can look at any percentages, but it's a bit, I'd rather ball retention. If you basically as simple as if you kick it,
your
teammate's got it.
Yeah.
So that should be a percentage. Yeah. So I'd love to see that as well, because I reckon some of them are even fluctuating.
This current midfield group, it's not even the top eight.
No, but when you're saying about guys in 60%, 70%, I think that's even fluctuated, because they kick it long all the time. So that's actually an efficient disposal. Yeah. These guys could be around 45, 50.
Well, that's just not good enough.
So, yeah,
and that's something Nixie needs to identify. Put your best kicks in the midfield. That's where the game's won. Would that be fair, chaps?
Oh, 100%. We'll get onto that a little bit in a minute. Russell Ebert on the
weekend.
Yeah,
very sad. Look, very sad. Our prayers and thoughts go out to Russell Ebert fighting cancer, and it's a terrible cancer that he's got since December last year. This is a man that was, you just couldn't break. You know, he was strong, and he's just a beautiful soul, and just breaks your heart to see what he's going through and his family. We heard Ditz this morning. Very emotional on the Brekkie show.
Rue as well.
And Rupert talking about the great man. He's been a wonderful father figure, a mentor, a great friend for a lot of us. And it just breaks your heart.
It shocked me seeing him. I've heard he's obviously pretty sick, but actually seeing him visually, like it just didn't look like him being such a strong player and such a successful sportsman. That it just didn't look right. No. But here he was last night on Channel 7.
That's why I wanted to just sort of record a thank you, because during your career, as I've said before, you're sort of just trying to get a game and just trying to organise a family and maybe run a business. You very rarely get the opportunity to tell people, whether they're 1, 2, 3, 4 years of age, or whether they're the grandma that's still knitting black and white and have added a bit of teal to their scarves and their rugs. You very rarely get an opportunity to just say how absolutely privileged it's been to be able to run out onto the ground, give you some enjoyment, certainly get enjoyment from us, but just a sincere, sincere thank you for all the support you've given us over so many years, and look forward to it ongoing.
There you go.
Onward and upward.
There he is, the great man. And I listened back to Jars, Rue and Ditz this morning, and talking about Russell. They did it beautifully. There was a lot of emotion flying around. Mm. And I grew up, you know, watching Russell Ebert play football, and he was the man. Mm. And I know David Wildy really well, who's played a lot of tennis with him. And I've played golf with Wildo, and he always said, hey, this guy is just one in a million. He's as hard as nails. Mm. So I'm like you, Bernie. I found that very confronting.
Still putting other people first too. Still thanking people and wanting to pass on. So, our thoughts go out to the Ebert family.
In the Australian Football League, there are two markers which designate bad performance. The scoreline and these three. Bernie, Bluey and Jars. This is what they learned.
Okay, family, we just scoured the papers and the TVs and all these sporting shows around the country just to see what we learned over the weekend. We had a good weekend. I'll start off there, Bern and Gregory.
Nice.
The Crows list management, number one priority, and I said it in the start of the show, you must draft elite skilled midfielders who are composed and who can use the football in the next 2 years, because his current Crows midfielders are not up to AFL standard.
I'm just ticking that one off my list. I had that one. Sorry, I said they need to recruit a Josh Kelly type player, some elite ball users, and play inside and out, make good decisions and execute.
Nathan Buckley will be coaching Collingwood next year because the players respect him. And he's got a lot of love from that group. David Teague, I think, will be looking for another job next year from the Carlton Footy Club.
Oh.
That's what I learned. Right. And the Richmond Football Club are now even more scarier than last year.
You've just stolen the mine. No, you didn't. Is that why you wanted to go first? You read mine.
No, I didn't.
No, let's get into mine.
You and I think a lot. That's the problem. So.
You listen to this. Yeah, similar there. Okay, and Ben. I've already crossed the Adelaide one off.
Thanks, Ben.
I thought we were only doing two, by the way.
Yeah, I got excited.
Yeah, you got what did you have? Seven? Eight? You just had all of ours put together.
Apologies.
Hey, Richmond aren't done with yet is my first one.
Apologise.
Write them off at your peril. Because they are on and they're starting to warm up. It's the second half of the year now. This is where they really step it up. So look for them to have a good little run at it over the next few weeks. Then. Well, next one. Carlton. They publicly stated that they wanted to play finals this year. I've got a little bit more. I've gone into it a little bit more than what you have.
Okay.
Seven games this year versus top eight sides. What do you reckon they are, win and loss of those games?
Zip.
3-0.
Wins. Zip and seven against top eight sides. Now, you need to beat teams in the eight if you want to be in there. They've all been losses, all between 16 and 28 points. Can you believe that? Okay. I'm talking all their losses this year have been between that. So they're honourable losses, you'd say.
Yeah.
But there's only so long you can keep putting up with that. They've been putting up for, 10 years, 12 years?
At least John Elliott.
Not happy. Something's got to change. Okay. I don't know who it is. You said Teague.
I don't know if it's him or they're
recruiting. But anyway, I thought Adelaide was stiff. On the weekend with that fine, $50,000 fine, when they were dobbed in to this radio station, actually. So we were part
snitched
of this.
On.
But snitched on, and there was photos taken. They are stiff because everyone else is doing it. Every other club's doing it.
Yeah, Kane Corns actually came to the defence as well.
Yeah, it seems a bit extreme to me. So a lady rang up a radio station, Triple M in Adelaide, and basically dobbed on the Crows players for doing that. And we all understand players have to be seen to do the right thing, and it's pretty simple to wear your mask. But, some other vision of AFL players walking through airports, Dusty Martin here not correctly wearing his face mask. Nothing to see there. We've seen Melbourne players, Christian Salem there, not wearing his face mask correctly. St Kilda players walking through not with their masks on. Yes, they've got coffees, but by the letter of the law, you can't be drinking a coffee without your face mask on unless you're sitting down. So the AFL, if they're going to crack down on Adelaide, TJ, and cost someone their job, $50,000 in the soft cap, which will be someone's job, the players won't suffer.
Yeah.
Let's make a blanket rule. And I think it's a big wake-up call for not just Adelaide, but the rest of the competition.
Well, there's Kane Corns talking on the Sunday footy show. Obviously, there was vision to that with players walking through. I saw that vision and saw the photos. And there's a lot of players with masks down. I know they had their coffees, but you have to be sitting down if you've got your mask off with a coffee. So they're breaking the law as well.
Now, out of us three at the moment, you do the most flying.
Yep.
What about the other, general public? Are they
Everyone's got them on.
Everyone's
got masks on.
Pilots.
Yep. You can take them down when you're having a drink, basically, but you put them on. I reckon you do it for your own safety, too.
But I've been on planes, Burn, where people haven't been wearing masks. Mm. Like, there's...
Well, what are the rules? Is it if you've got the vaccine, do you have to wear it?
Still wear it.
Yeah, you still do.
The trams and the trains after post game here, mate, jam packed. No one's wearing a mask.
Yeah,
no, I don't think you have to. You don't have to after you've left the ground.
$50,000
huge fine.
Gregory, what do you got?
Well, in sport, you want to see athletes keep improving, and this guy has just been unbelievable this year. Darcy Parrish was best on ground. Was it yesterday? Yesterday. Yeah. 44,
Saturday night.
44 disposals, Richmond. Jazz. 25 kicks, 19 handballs, 8 marks, 5 tackles. His last 10 games, he's averaging just over 34 disposals. Yeah. So I don't know whether, you go to superstar sort of status,
but he is
one of the elite midfielders. Yeah. So his improvement has been unbelievable.
Do you know that 44 was the highest ever from an Essendon player?
Yes.
Ever.
Ever?
Ever. Yep. Thought you probably would have had that.
Thought
blue,
you would
anyway.
Have had that, Gregory.
Oh, well, anyway. Now, the other thing, the economic impact of COVID is huge. We'll never know the amount of money that's been lost by individuals, but one player, a golfer, John Rahm was leading the Memorial Trophy that finished this morning by six shots after three rounds. Now, that is a lay-down Mazair Jars. If you're leading by six shots, he would have gone on to win that tournament. Yep. Got diagnosed with COVID at the end of round three. Had to pull out. That cost him 1.7 million snoots.
Does he get anything
back? So let alone bonuses on, what's that?
Does he get anything back, like compensation?
Why don't they just let him play out?
Because he's got COVID,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, with the mask on.
He's got COVID. So, of course, they had to pull him out.
Poor chap.
That is a shattered. Very, very 1. Costly 7. Diagnosis.
Shit.
Jeez. Mm. And that's what they learned. What did you learn, fam? 0488 51047. Get us on the text. All thanks to Automasters. Very soon, Jay Clark. And the latest on the Port game, whether or not it's going to go ahead at the Cattery.
Is this voicemail coming?
Yeah, it is. Well, this is quickly becoming the most popular segment on our show. Do you realise that?
I didn't realise
that. The people are calling for it.
Yeah.
Literally calling in for it. Let's play it.
You have 10 new messages.
Hello, it's Lucas from the Bureau of Meteorology here. Just letting you know that Monday will start off well. It'll turn a little bit dark and a bit iffy, and then it will become abysmal. We're calling this the Crows weather pattern. Call us if you need any more info. Well, hello, it's the Premier here. Jars, we were wondering if you could help out Professor Nicola Spurrier. We went over your last few seasons as a coach, and you seem to be the best man for advising people on how not to touch a ball. We hope you can help us out.
G'day, boys. It's Tex.
Tex.
I've got my mask on. It's Spider-Man. It's better in person.
Boys, it's Matto, your boss.
Matto.
Wow. Yeah, we've made a few changes to the show segments. Beer with Bluey wasn't testing well with audiences. They said it wasn't very believable, so it's going to be rebranded as a West Coast Cooler with Bluey. Not my fault. Not my fault.
Wow. Come on, Matty.
Yeah, Roo here. Just finished giving away another $10,000 prize on the breakfast show after $20,000 last month. And, well, a mate of mine wants to know how to win the big prizes on the rush hour. He said he would love the $10 worth of dog food. If you can help out, lads.
Oh, g'day, Nixie here. Nixie. You guys aren't doing a $50,000 giveaway anytime soon, are you?
Oh. Boys, I wanted to give you the heads up. Watch this amazing documentary it tells about terrorists attacking a building in America. And, oh, unbelievable. I hope this John McClane writes a biography. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hello, Josh from Foxtel, leaving a message for Greg Blewett. We got your inquiry about your subscription. You need to buy a package or a bundle. You can't just switch everything off and leave sports and porn. I hope that helps, mate.
Yeah, Mika from the Stansbury pub. Bloody do-gooders having a go at Stumpy. You know, Bern, the sheep with the wooden leg that we got out the back? Getting quizzed and shit about cruelty to animals. It's not. Why has he got a wooden leg? You know what's bloody cruel? Eating him all at once would have been bloody cruel. We just took a leg. He was bloody delicious. Hello, boys. Yes. Brayshaw.
Yes, Jimmy.
Look, Jarvin, I'm not going to pay you out about your size this week.
Thanks, Jimmy.
I'm going to take the higher road. I know you got a lot on your plate.
Yeah.
Literally. I can't help myself. You're fat.
There are no more messages.
Oh, very good.
Brilliant.
Excellent. Very good.
Tex has got his mask on now. Yeah, that's good. He didn't really say too much.
No. He normally farts as well at the end.
Well, he's got a mask on, so there was never a time to let one go like a big air biscuit from the Texan.
Well, he's wearing masks at both ends.
And Nixie needs $50,000.
What about our prizes, though? That brought something up. That triggered my memory a bit.
Here we
need some better prizes.
Yeah.
Brecky get...
They get everything.
What was last week? A ticket to... Some
no,
reserves.
it was a ticket to the
Sandful.
Oh, next thing they'll be giving tickets away to the CMS Crows.
But we got vouchers for the Cheeky Greek down there.
Well, that's our best prize.
Yeah.
Is that approved by management though, Josh?
No. Now, mate, talk to us about you and JB, the captain of the rush hour, James Brayshaw. Told a funny story about you two in town at the Townsville races.
Oh, it was funny, was it?
It was.
I haven't heard
mate,
it.
It is hilarious. That's why I want to play it to the Rushmore family.
No,
no. Oh. I haven't heard it either. I've heard that he said something.
Oh well, let's hear.
Do you want to hear? This is JB talking about Blewett and JB at the Townsville races and forgot to play a cricket game.
We had just come off winning the Sheffield Shield, so it's fair to say we'd celebrated pretty hard because
it's
been a long time since South Australia had won one prior to that, and guess what?
Still is.
Been a long time since they've won one since
exactly.
Staggeringly enough. Anyway, yeah. So we had a pretty decent winter. We turned up at this thing in about August. Jamie Siddons was the captain and the coach, and he basically said, look, as long as you do all of the, and we're in a pretty heavy training phase, as long as you do all the heavy training work, you can have as much fun as you want.
Enjoy yourself.
Because we don't really give a stuff if we come first or last in this tournament. So
is it against all the other states?
All the other states.
Yeah, right.
So there was one in Cairns, one in Townsville, one in Brisbane.
Right.
Anyway, fair to say we enjoyed ourselves, Fat.
Yes, good.
We played in a golf tournament, actually, golf day, where all the jockeys, because they had the Townsville Cup.
Oh.
So Bossy was up there, Munts, Glenn Munts or whatever?
43 Munts.
Anyway, of the big jockeys were Damien Oliver. They were all up there riding in this. So anyway, we turned up to play.
How big is it at Townsville?
Townsville Cup.
All happening.
So, Fat, we go along and play this golf tournament, which was hilarious. I played with one jockey, I can't remember his name, who teed the ball up to hit the first shot of the hole and then went and found his ball and teed it up again, hit the second one.
Didn't know the rules.
I got to about the fourth hole and I said to him, mate, you're actually only allowed to tee it up at the start of the hole. You then got to hit it from where it lies. Anyway, there was a couple of jockeys. Well, as I say, there's almost a jockey in every group. And then, of course, because I don't know anything about racing, as you know, so I didn't know that the town Townsville Cup was a big thing.
Oh, Jim, you could have got a tip.
Fat, what I did, though, was get tickets to the real good marquee.
Yes, of course. You wouldn't be in the outer.
No, I wanted to be in the real good spot. So whoever it was, Muncie, whoever was the bloke playing with us, said, look, I'll look after you, get your real good tickets into the real good marquee.
He's tiny, Muncie.
Oh, about tiny. He would walk under this desk.
He would.
Anyway, so Bluey and I, fair to say, got the good tickets. We're in Townsville. Not much to do in Townsville, Fat. So we go out to the Townsville racecourse and we got the real good tickets into the best of the marquees.
Yes.
Marquee. So fair to say we had a couple of pots.
We had them. Enjoyed
yourself. Of course you did, Bill. Yeah. And then.
Were you punting?
Probably a couple more.
Good.
And then probably after that.
A few more. A
couple more. Because you're there for five. It's a bit like the birdcage. Yeah. You're there for 5 or 6
did
hours.
You actually have a bet.
And it's hot.
And it's hot.
Hot, hot.
So I reckon, probably add a few.
Right. Good boy.
To the point where he and I are enjoying ourselves.
No, you're pissed.
Anyway.
If you've had more than three, you're pissed.
Phone rang.
Oh, don't tell me.
Bluey's looking at me going, who's that? I said, I don't know. Answered the phone.
Yep.
Team manager.
Oh, no.
Where are you?
Not.
I said, what do you mean, where are you? We're at the races. He goes, game starts in an hour and a half.
Oh, no. You were playing. What? You didn't know you were playing.
Forgot.
You forgot.
We forgot.
You just forgot.
That we had a game on.
Come on, Jim. No. And you're pissed.
But had a few.
No, I had a few. You didn't play.
Turned
please tell
up
me. No, you did not.
To play in this game geez. And. Fair to say, I'm not sure I performed at my absolute sharpest.
Probably batted well.
I reckon Bluey just I can't remember. Wow. But, Bill, because it was a tournament over a week, you just we just forgot that day we
just
had a
forgot.
Game. Forgot.
So you're on the piss.
Just
Townsville Cup.
Bill.
And you're playing that day.
And we only had 12 blokes.
Oh, gee.
And the 12th bloke was Peter McIntyre, who should never play in that form of a game in his life.
Did you actually bat?
But, Bill. We both played, and I have no recollection of what happened.
Jeez.
All I remember thinking is, this probably shouldn't get out.
No.
So, what are we, 24 years later?
Plenty of
children. It's got out.
Now it's got out that we weren't probably.
At
we
your
just
best.
Didn't know, Bill.
You weren't at your best.
We just didn't know that the game was on.
It's an honest mistake.
Jim, I wouldn't tell anyone that.
Well, I'm not going to.
How do you feel?
Wow.
Look, I don't know that story's 100% accurate.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Why?
I don't think that's 100% accurate.
Well, you reckon it's just talking absolute mud.
I don't think we forgot. I think they changed the schedule on us. Like, you know, we wouldn't... knowingly go out and have a few drinks and go to the races if we
so
knew that there was
three
a game
parts
on.
When you
yeah,
played?
But he said you didn't know. He said he didn't.
I'm with him. I can't remember playing the
so
game either.
So you were both that pissed you can't
that's
remember.
That's a disgrace. You're representing our state and you carry on like that.
No wonder we haven't won one since you created that culture.
There is a couple of things I would add to that as well.
Right.
Because Greg Chappell was one of the key organisers of that Super 8. So it was like eight aside.
Yes.
So it was sort of like the T20 cricket before T20 cricket. And we were like, oh, this is a bit of a joke. Anyway, he came to pick us up at the airport and he was at the carousel. And the first thing that came out were 12 golf bags. And he's like, no worries. Oh, you're here to play cricket, are you? And anyway, the golf bags came
out. Rolling out.
And the other thing in the team meeting, they said, right, how are we going to go about this? Yeah. And he mentioned Peter McIntyre. And I put my hand up and I said, if we're fair dinkum about winning this tournament, there's no way Peter McIntyre can play a game.
Was he in the room?
Yeah, he was in the room. Oh.
You've just bagged him.
You have to be honest sometimes, Bert.
No way.
You have to be honest.
No wonder he doesn't put you in his favourite cricketers.
No,
ever.
Well, probably too. But wow. Good day with the jockeys on the golf course.
Chrissy not so much at the too. Pitch.
And Blewett is gone for a duck. And Australia are in trouble.
What about Bill saying, yeah, geez, he was tiny, old Muncie. He's a jockey, you dickhead.
The Rush Hour with Bernie and Jars presents AFL Newsbreaker. What up, JC? Jay Clark.
We love this young man. Every Monday on the top rating Rush Hour that goes global around the world. That's what global means. Good afternoon, Jay.
Hello, boys. You know, this is my favourite part of my lockdown. I think I'm at day 8 or day 9. Homeschooling's become a bit of a blur and I get to talk to you fine fellas, but gee whiz, if we're not let out on Thursday, I might lose my mind.
Good luck. Carlton Football Club couldn't even beat a depleted Eagle side day yesterday. They are on the nose. What's going to happen out there?
Yeah, the media bus is certainly parked at Carlton this week with some question marks over David Teague. Now, we know that he's contracted till the end of next year, but if this team doesn't deliver serious results in the back half of the season, then there will be big question marks for that administration and the board at the end of the year, particularly with the spectre of Alistair Clarkson. He's the one that's looming largest in my mind. He's contracted to the end of 22 as well, but they'll have a conversation with the Hawthorn Chiefs as well and see whether Clarko wants to be contracted again for another big chunk of that Hawthorn rebuild or whether something like Carlton would appeal. It's certainly going to be fascinating. Now, the major question mark over Carlton, the talking point at the moment is, do they play a modern defence? So they play a lot of one-on-one defence, which is a bit 1990s defensive tactics in football, as you guys know a lot better than I. So they conceded another 95 points to Sydney at the weekend. They've conceded 100 points six times in 2021. Carlton defensively needs to improve, and that is the big watch. That is a big KPI for the second half of the season, boys.
Hey, Geelong Port game on Thursday night, Jay-Z. Yep. We're all looking forward to that. Is it going to happen?
We certainly think it will at this stage. Now, Geelong is going into lockdown at 5 p.m. today, Melbourne time. So that means any of the Cats who have wives or partners who are working and kids who are going out to school, that the Geelong players need to go to a Geelong hotel where they will stay in quarantine conditions. So separate themselves from the family. They'll do that until they catch a charter plane on Thursday, fly to Adelaide, and then either catch a charter flight back late at night after the night game or stay the night in Adelaide and come back the next morning. All that stuff is being thrashed out between SA government officials and AFL officials at the moment. Just spoke to the Cats literally 20 minutes ago. They are saying they are preparing to come over and come over to play. Certainly, they were heartened by Collingwood's result at the weekend. Yes, they had to kick around for 4 hours in a cricket centre on beanbags and watch the NBA and play computer games and meditate before the game, but that was the blueprint. So the Cats looking to play. The Cats could get some big names back for this. And this is a serious boost of manpower, really, with Patrick Dangerfield back from that ankle, most likely. Blitz Harbs trying to get back from the calf. Mitch Duncan would be a huge boost to the midfield. He's coming back from a concussion. Zach Guthrie with a shoulder. Mark O'Connor, the defender, coming back from a hamstring. So some serious firepower back for the Cats. Certainly that the Cats are hopeful that all five of those will play. And with Jeremy Cameron, Gary Rowan, Tom Hawkins functioning so well in that forward line, maybe it's more of a midfield role for Dangerfield after playing so much of the past 12 months up forward. But that forward line is humming nicely.
Jay-Z, Adelaide set to play St Kilda in Queensland this weekend. St Kilda, are they safe to get up there?
I don't think, Bernie, at this stage, this is probably more unlikely. I think this could be more likely in Sydney. Certainly, Saints people not that confident of the Queensland getting up, game getting up there in Kazali Stadium. So that's potentially more likely to be moved to Sydney. The AFL thrashing out those details, literally, Bernie, as we speak. They're decimated. St Kilda, they're losing Seb Ross as well and Tim Embry for personal reasons. There's partners either had kids or are expecting kids in Tim, new baby in Tim Embry's case. So they're looking to call up Cooper Sharman, 22nd pick, I believe, in the mid-season draft. He's a bouncy forward who was playing local footy under Rodney Eade 2 years ago. He was a bit of a bolter a couple of years ago. I think he's been plying his trade in the in a sample since then. But he's sort of a rangy half forward. They've been decimated by injuries, the Saints. So you think the Crows would be a huge, your boys would be a huge chance in that one. But I think it's unlikely to be played in Queensland unless something changes, Burn, at this stage.
Hey, speaking of St Kilda, the headline on the weekend, Missy Higgins for Jack Higgins, who couldn't kick a goal to save himself. Is that going too far? Do we need to be careful? Or is that just good fun?
I would have thought, like, it honestly, I know we are very cognizant and mindful of players' mental health, but I think, you know, Missy Higgins in a headline, fair dinkum. If we can't have a play on words with a player's goal-kicking accuracy when it is in black and white, whether you have missed or you've kicked the goal or not, I think we're going a bit... Yeah. I think we've gone a bit crazy, haven't we? Like, we're allowed to use this as a headline, boys.
Yes.
Sure. Simon Lefleen's been on the phone to media outlets saying we're being a bit harsh there. I just reckon they could concentrate on the field, if you know what I mean, boys.
Jay-Z, just before we let you go, mate, any news on Essendon's Andy McGrath's knee?
Oh yeah, we love Pigeon McGrath. He's going to be missing from 8 to 12 weeks, though, Bluey. You think that's going to be season over? I mean, you couldn't. The eight looks set. The way things are shaping up, West Coast win at the weekend certainly helped solidify their spot in the eight. So Andy McGrath, that comes on top of Jai Caldwell, Sam Draper, Dylan Shule. They've had some massive injuries this year. Essendon, Andy McGrath's name adds to that list. PCL it is, which is a significant concern, particularly in that jumping motion, but he most likely done for the year, Blue, which is a blow to a football club, which has really improved and been on the up this season, being the Essendon Bombers.
Superb work, young Jay. We'll speak to you on Saturday morning on the top rating Dead Set Legends. Thanks for your time, buddy.
I love your work, fellas.
There he is, Jay Clark here on the rush.
You can send us a text whenever you like, 0488851047, all thanks to Automasters. Lucky from West Croydon, the Crows copped a $50,000 fine. I thought it was 40. No, it was 50, wasn't it?
50.
Yep, for not wearing masks. What's the harshest penalty you've each copped in your sporting career?
I'll start. I got fined for wearing a sweatband. This is like probably in about my third game.
Why?
No, well, I had the Nike logo showing.
Even worse.
What's wrong with Nike?
Well, it doesn't have a lot of street credibility.
So, no, I mean, well,
that's a bit harsh. That's a bit harsh.
You Olivia meant Newton to John wears some... that in a bloody TV
well, mate,
video.
When you're
song.
Actually, you know, trying and playing in decent heat, you actually sweat
let's
a bit,
get
mate.
Physical, not in,
we don't
physical,
wear bloody long
let's
sleeve.
Let's get physical. Physical.
Hey, you long sleeve goonsies, mate.
Oh, long sleeve.
Long sleeve goonsie in the cold.
How much did they fine you, though?
It was about $5,000.
$5,000
like that.
For a bloody sweatband?
For a sweatband.
Yeah.
Who paid for that?
Well, I
you
did.
No,
of course
you
I did.
Not
surely
you.
Surely the way you batted, did. You realised you probably weren't going to be out there long enough to require a sweatband.
Sorry. Listen to Donnie Bradman over here.
Unfortunately, I was done $10,000 for not participating in an AFL game back in 96. So I got slugged $10,000.
$10,000?
Yeah, that hurts.
Burn?
Nah, the worst I've ever got fined has been, well, in total a lot, but
with all your reports
most weeks.
And, all your reports and suspensions.
And
what you
melees
read?
And that. Melees are the worst.
Yeah, well, you cost other people money too.
Yeah, actually, Nathan Jones said that, didn't he, when we asked him.
Are you 20 large? Around 20 large?
I'd be more probably. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, 30. I concussed an umpire one day, Jazz.
Oh, no.
I got pushed into him and ducked like that.
And you knocked him out.
In the back of his head, hit me right in the middle of my front of my head.
In your mush.
In the back, and he was
how much?
Carried. 2.5 of umpire contact.
And that
contact.
Comes out of your that's, credit card.
Yeah.
Harvey's education, mate.
That's it. I know,
Harvey's
could
go to.
Yeah. And he needs education, this kid, I'm telling you.
Thanks for the question, Lockie. Where's Croydon? Send one through 0488851047. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Vince's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact.
It's Monday.
He got you again, Jars. Are you going to talk or still thinking about that new jump?
It's not new.
It's my Lululemon. What colour is it?
Blue.
Yeah.
Can I give you a fact just a straight up? Oh, straight can you away. Start matching your clothes?
What?
Because you've
what?
Got dress black boots on, flared jeans,
then
and
Johnny Cash boots.
With a hoodie, a beanie, and you had gloves
no.
on.
Mate, your fashion statement what? Says I dress in pitch black darkness.
And the flares the are out. The fitted bottoms are in.
Yeah, but I've got them on.
What?
The fitted bottom.
Yeah, I know you've got them on. That's why we're jeans. Talking about them.
Are they in
anything
would
be
mate?
Fitted around those calves.
Oh, don't or, you talk.
They're good calves, know, though. They're good calves.
Thanks, Hayter. You're wearing a T-shirt.
It's a T-shirt.
And it's -6 degrees with your puny little arms. Hairy. Oh, you're as bad as Hairy as Ricky Ponting's forearms.
Oh, God.
Aren't you? Who's Hairy? Well, you're or Ricky?
Ricky.
Bluey waxes his forearms.
Yeah.
Used to.
Just grew did back you, in you... 3 days.
He did
right,
it this
buddy,
morning.
We've got to go for hey. Monday. We've got a lot of rain coming tonight, yes. So let's go.
And tomorrow.
And tomorrow.
Hey, 7th of June. Yes. Today is National Chocolate Ice Cream Day.
Oh.
Good day. Harv's going to love good that day. Fact.
No, he's banned from any of that.
Oh, is he?
No, he just gets flares all over him.
Gets him going.
Like you on the Terps, mate.
Actually, yeah, he gets
I'm
out
a
of control.
Strawberry ice cream man, actually. Yeah, I'm not really into the chocolate.
No, I'm chocolate.
Oh, yeah?
Strawberries for...
Vanilla.
What a lady's drink.
Watch your mouth.
Wash your mouth.
And also World Food Safety Day. So there you go.
Again? Say that again.
World Food Safety Day. Can you say that quickly three times?
World
Food Day.
I just said it. World Food Safety Day.
I said three times, but you obviously can't count. Right. Hey, right. On this day,
yes,
in 1968, it was the world's first, you all heard of Legoland?
Lego.
No, it's Lego. I say Lego. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to say it as I want to say it because it's my bit.
You've had a bit of Lego stuff
world's
lately.
First, yeah, the other day we had it. World's first Legoland resort opened. It's one of six and it's in Denmark because that is the home of the Lego group.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where they make
1968.
Any in Australia?
No.
Why not? Because Australians love their Lego.
They should. Mm. Or Lego, is it? Or
you just said it was Lego.
Well, it's Lego in Adelaide.
I call it Lego.
What, why do you say Lego if you're from Adelaide?
No, because I'm trying to come around. We're trying to come around with a lot of things.
And it's not working. So we'll move on. This one's for you, Bluey. 1975. This is a cricket on this day.
Right.
Can you have a little guess of what happened on this day in 1975?
I'm I'm annoyed at this.
That's interesting.
Come on, Mr. Cricket.
Well, I was 4 years of age,
yeah,
mate.
But you still should have... first ever Cricket World Cup.
That began on this day.
Right. This was day one.
Australia won it.
No, they didn't.
No.
Oh.
Who won it? Where was it, first? Ever... Where was it?
West Indies.
Where was it? Oh, you're going West Indies, yeah?
I was
going
to say the West Indies probably won it. They were brilliant during that era.
It was in England. UK.
England?
Might have been.
How long are you going to say might have been? I was going to say.
Yeah, I'll go England. As well.
England,
they would have played in whites.
Give him a ding. And who won it?
West Indies.
Tick. Well done, boys. Nice. You're on today. Hey, birthdays today.
Yeah.
1940, the great Tom Jones. You know what you are?
Sex bomb. Sex bomb. One of my favorite sex bomb.
You can give it to you. Sorry, that's just Carl Beard's ringtone, Colin Jars.
It's taking me to places I don't want to go to with you.
I might dress up like Tom Jones tonight.
Not sure about Jonesy's hairstyle, though, Jazz.
It's fantastic.
If you're going to dress up like him, you're not going to be able to do the hair. Anyway, 1952, Liam Neeson. That was on last night.
If you're looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. If you let
Stuart McGill
go now, that'll be the end of it. But if you don't, I will find you. And I will kill you.
Yeah. Oh, that was on last night, Jazz. I watched a bit of that.
That's one of the classic lines
great.
Of all time.
I reckon every person's daughter should watch that if they're going to go away overseas. Yeah. I'm going to make little Olivia watch that when
good.
She grows up.
Because I hate to get the phone call from you.
No.
What? I'll find you. I will destroy you.
I might not find him, but if I did, I'd kill him. 1958.
Yep.
Prince.
Legend.
Joe Hader. It was ahead of his time.
Way
was he right
ahead
up there with time. Michael Jackson?
He was in musicianship. He was the master of something like 18 instruments. Pretty much every Prince album, apart from the earlier stuff he did with the New Power Generation, was him.
Wow.
And he was tiny as well, wasn't he? Hey,
he was very tiny. So tiny, in fact, that his people used to go ahead of him at hotels where they'd be staying and say, do not look at him when he walks through.
Really?
Because he was very conscious that he was literally probably up to
Chrissy Munts.
Bernie's nipples.
What's his nipples got
to
do?
Well, my nipples are higher than Jarvis was saying.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I didn't say he was a jockey, or I would have used Jarvis.
Oh, your nipples are higher than mine, are they?
Oh, geez, he was tiny. Well, he's a jockey.
Jeez.
Anyway, some AFL birthdays. Yeah, Daniel Rich.
We'll have to hurry up.
Mitch Robinson.
Yeah.
Gary Rowan.
Righto.
So three good players,
Jarvis. Yeah.
And just a little factor sentence.
Here we go.
Send you home with you.
Thanks, Ben.
Do you know there's a company in the UK who don't want to be named? It's a big company. That being hungover is a valid reason to not coming into work.
Oh, please.
And you can have four per year. Do we need this in Australia and at Triple M?
Triple M, absolutely.
But you only get four.
Yeah, that's enough.
Might need more than four.
No, that's enough.
I reckon we should do this.
Melbourne Cup, Grand Final, AFL Grand Final.
Yeah.
Lock those dates in.
You need four for July, Jazz.
Well, you've just had a week off. You've had a week off. Our producer's currently on a week off.
I haven't had a week off. I had one day off.
Yes, you're a crook. Yeah, you were
at all. See you tomorrow, chaps. I've got to go. Boom, boom, tomorrow.